Amen. Let's take our Bibles and turn to the Gospel of Luke, chapter number 14. Luke, chapter number 14. And I want to draw your attention to verse 25, and we'll read through the remainder of that chapter. This is one of those hard sayings or difficult sayings from our Lord. And so before you kind of get crossways in your thinking, let us explain to you what Jesus is saying here. And I believe you'll see the challenge and realize what he's doing as we get into this message. Luke 14, verses 25 through 35. Thought this morning I want you to consider is Jesus is more important. Jesus is more important. Look at what he says in verse 25. And there went great multitudes with him, and he turned and said unto them, if any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it? Lest happily, after he hath laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king going to make war against another king sitteth not down first and consulteth whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000? Or else while the other is yet a great way off, he sendeth an embassage and desireth conditions of peace. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. Salt is good, but if salt has lost its savor, wherewith shall it be seasoned? It is neither fit for the land, nor yet for the dunghill, but men cast it out. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for this morning. And we thank you for the word of God. And Lord, we certainly need your help to understand it. And we pray, God, that the Holy Spirit would do that work. Lord, reveal to us what you have in mind when you gave us these difficult and hard words. Lord, so that we might be able to be obedient to you. That, Lord, we would fulfill the conditions that you've set before us this morning. We pray, Father, if there's any in this service that are lost and they do not know Christ, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would help them to hear the words of Jesus. Give them ears to hear. Lord, help them to understand what it is that Jesus is desiring from them. And then, Lord, help them to respond in faith and come and trust Christ as their Lord and Savior. God, for everyone who has named the name of Christ, and Lord, they are followers. Lord, remind us, Lord, of what the condition is to follow Jesus. And Lord, for those that are not following Christ in this way, prick their heart, or prick our hearts. And Lord, help us to see the need for change in our life so that we might be true disciples, better students of Christ. We pray, Father, that you'd have your way in the service. Accomplish your will. Don't let your word return void. But Lord, help it to perform that you'd have it to perform. We'll thank you for what you do, for it's in Jesus' name that we pray and ask these things. Amen. Amen. Jesus is stating facts here that could be easily misunderstood from someone who just wants to walk away from Christ, who's not willing to really give Jesus a hearing. If you're looking for an excuse not to follow Jesus, you can find almost any excuse, right? So don't let the statement here cause your flesh to say, well, if that's what Christ said, I'm not interested in it. Try to really get a hold of what our Lord wants you to understand about this verse. To the wise man, these words are his words. It's the words of Christ, and they're not a sorrow to us that hear it, but in fact, they're really a joyful thing. At least I know what Christ demands of me. I know what position he should have in my life. And I know where I'm at in my relationship to him. And when I read this, I can't help but think that Jesus is more important than anything or anyone in all the world. And by the way, that is a true statement. Christ is more important than everything. He is the maker and creator of all things. When you read the Bible, you'll come across many hard things that Jesus said. Remember in John chapter 6, he said, except you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no part with me. And there's a large multitude that heard that, and they all walked away. What did they say? They said, that's a hard saying. It was so hard that Jesus turned to his 12 that he chose and said, will you walk away also? And they said, wisely, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Amen. If you want to know how to get to heaven, you better listen to Jesus. If you want to know how to have a right relationship with God, you better listen to Jesus. Amen. They're tough words, but they're true words. The writer of Proverbs said this in Proverbs 15, verse 10. Correction is grievous unto those that forsake the way. Correction is grievous unto him that forsaketh the way, and he that hateth reproof shall die. Amen. No, so when God says something, we're not dealing with what mere men say. Okay. We're dealing with what God has said. That's a whole different level, amen? I could tell you, don't cross the street. And you can look at me and say, who are you? But if a police officer says, don't cross the street, that's a different level. Amen? If the judge says, if you cross the street, I'm throwing you in jail for 10 days, that's even another level. Amen? Amen? If God says, this is what you need to do, that's the highest that there is. Amen?
Amen?
In Proverbs 9 and verse 18, the Bible says this, reprove not a scorner, lest he hate thee. But listen to these words, rebuke a wise man, and he will love thee. When you hear the gospel, you have a choice to make. Am I going to respond to that gospel foolishly? Look to find fault in how it's worded? Or am I going to really try to understand what Christ would have me to understand? Amen. And that's how I want to challenge you this morning. Look at this verse. Are these verses with me? What is the Lord saying? Remember, Jesus said this in John 6 and verse 63. He said, it is the Spirit that quickeneth. Or gives life. The Spirit that quickeneth or gives life. The flesh profiteth nothing. And then Jesus said this, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. You say, even this hard saying, Brother Tom? Yes, they're spirit and they're life. They give life. To the lost, they give eternal life. To the saved, they continue to nurture that life that we have received through the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen?
Again, Jesus quoted an Old Testament book when he was being tempted of the devil. And he said this in Matthew 4 and verse 4. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by what? Every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God.
Amen.
Even these words, preacher? Yes. Especially these words.
Amen.
So notice, first of all, the declaration. What is Jesus trying to make known or declare? First of all, he is making known our pursuit. He said, if any man come to me, and then verse 27, he says, if any man come after me, he's saying, this should be the pursuit of your life. You should pursue me more than anything else in all the world. Your life should be fixed on me. You should be coming after Christ. You should be coming to Christ. In this congregation, there are people who are coming after Christ, and then there are people who are walking away from Christ. And the question you need to ask yourself this morning is, which one am I? Am I coming after the Lord, or am I walking away from the Lord?
Amen.
By the way, there's only really two courses to take, right? Either nearer to God, or further and further away from God. So your pursuit, if you were to stop and think about your life, a lot of you would be able to say, but preacher, this is really what I want in life. This is my goal. This is what I hope to accomplish. When I retire, this is where I want to be. You know what most people in America are thinking about when they think about their future and where they want to be in life? They're thinking about money in the bank. Is that right? In America?
Yep.
How much money is, what's going on in the stock market? And how much am I going to have for retirement? And when am I going to reach $1 million in the bank? How close are you, Brother Lewis, to the million? Pretty close. Anyway. And I should be there any moment. That's the pursuit of a lot of people. It's wealth, it's money, it's material things. They are living for another dollar. Is that the case with you? When you leave the church and you get back to your Monday morning, is it all about the money in the bank? How many of y'all know that that's usually most of the people that you talk with, that's the really the purpose to go to work is so they can put more money in the bank and have more material things. Someone may have a concrete number in mind. People want to become a millionaire. Now say something to you. A million today is not what it used to be. Others, they don't have that definite pursuit. Like, I want to have this much money in retirement when I reach this age. They don't have that definite pursuit. But really, that's still the bent of their life. Is they're trying to earn and make and more and labor and get and their focus is only on material possessions. Jesus said this in Luke chapter 12, verse 34, "For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." Remember, he also said you can't serve two masters. You will either love Jesus and put him first, or you'll love material things and put them first. And when you have a choice between the two, which one usually wins? Material. If it's material things, that should show you really who I'm, what I'm serving is wealth and riches and not Christ. Isn't that a good thing to kind of keep in mind? If you, every time you have a choice between Christ or cash, you choose cash, then you ought to take a step back and say, wait a minute, cash didn't save me. Cash didn't die for me. Cash didn't give me eternal life. Jesus did. Amen. Remember what Paul wrote in 1 Timothy chapter 6? He said, "But godliness with contentment is great gain." You satisfied with what you have? You know how many people have to honestly, no, preacher, no, no, no. It's always a better car, a newer car, a bigger home. I got 2 bedrooms. I need 3 bedrooms. I got 3 bedrooms. I need 4. I got 4. I need 8. Then Paul goes on to say, "For we brought nothing into this world, and listen, and it is certain we can carry nothing out." You, when you were born only in your birthday suit. That's all you brought into the world. Nothing. And when you die, that's how it's going to be too. You won't enter heaven with a fistful of cash and gold, you know. "Look what I brought here, Jesus, look." You're not going to take nothing on the other side, amen? A rich man died and someone asked him, "How much did he leave?" Another said he left it all. "Having food and raiment or clothing, let us therewith be content," Paul said. And then he goes to add this in verse 9. "But they that desire to be rich shall fall into temptation and a snare and to many foolish and hurtful or harmful lusts which drown men in destruction and perdition." Yeah, that's what the Bible said about, "I will be rich." He said, and you're going to find a lot of problems. There's a lot of men in prison because they want to be rich. Some are in prison just for $15. They went in the store, tried to rob someone, shot, murdered an individual, walked out, counted the cash. Nothing but petty cash. They wasted their life trying to gain resources. Many foolish and hurtful. He said this in verse 10, "For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they've erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows." So he's talking about the come after me. This should be the goal of your life, should be Jesus.
Amen.
You should be living for Christ. This is what Christianity is all about, right? It is a life that's dedicated to Christ. It's a life that is living for Jesus. It's one that is pursuing Christ himself. And then he gives us a parallel. And he says, if you're going to follow after, come after me, he said, then you have to hate other things. Now, when you look at this parallel, I want you to understand something. He is not saying you need to despise your parents, hate your wife, you know, don't care about your children. How do we know he's not saying that? Because he has so many other verses in the Bible that tell us to do just the opposite of that, right? What is it, are we supposed to treat our parents?
Honor
your mother and your father, right? And remember, Jesus gave an example in the New Testament. We looked at it last Sunday, or the Sunday school last week, that he said, here's money that you have, and you're going to keep it to yourself, and your parents are in need. And you say, well, it's Corbin. It's a gift dedicated to the temple. And so you're going to let your parents suffer? And you're going to hold on to the cash and use that as an excuse. And Jesus rebuked them because that they've broken that commandment of caring for their parents, honoring their parents. I really want to emphasize this to my children as I get older. Y'all might find me preaching on this more and more. So it's, he said, honor them, right? Okay, what is, how is the husband to treat his wife? And he is to sacrifice himself for her, right? So he tells me I'm to die for my wife, and here he says, I'm not to put her first before I put Christ. That's what he's saying when he used the word hate, right? He said, you are to be so affectionate towards me that anybody that you bring up there in comparison, it looks like you don't really care about their feelings at all. Why? Because you're so concerned about Christ. You see what he's saying? He's not saying that you despise your parents or your children or your brothers or sisters. So he's making a contrast here. We know that because he gives us other verses that tell us to care for them, right? So he's making this comparison. Remember reading in Romans chapter 9, verse 13? This is an often misunderstood verse. God says in Romans 9:13, as it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. And so some people read that verse and they say, see there? God hates some of people in the world. Those folks are never going to be saved because God hates them. But these are the chosen, the elect. God loves all of them. You know that's not what that verse is saying. That verse is saying, I want the Messiah to come into the world. I've got to choose between Jacob and Esau. So I can't have both of them. Amen. I don't need two Messiahs, just need one. Amen. So which one am I going to choose? I'm going to choose Jacob. And so God chose Jacob and the nation of Israel and was gracious and affectionate and kind and giving and generous to Jacob. He also blessed Esau, if you go back and read the story, right? Amen. But because he favored Jacob so much to bring the Christ into the world, his relationship with Israel next to Edom looked like he loved Israel and he didn't have too much concern with Edom whatsoever. So it's not talking about hating your parents. It's talking about if you love Jesus like you're supposed to love Jesus, it will be a love that says Jesus is more important to me than anything else in the entire world. And by the way, that's the way it ought to be. So he is to be our priority, is what Christ is saying. We're to make Jesus number one. Amen. If there's a choice between Jesus and what Dad wants, Jesus wins. Amen. If it's a choice between Jesus and what Mom wants, Jesus wins. Amen. If it's a choice between Jesus and what my wife wants, Jesus wins. Amen. If it's a choice between Jesus and what her husband would want, Jesus should win. Amen. By the way, when it gets to your children, it gets tough. Amen. Right? Dad, can I do so and so? You're like, I hate to say no, but I'm a little bit concerned about that. You know, you go over and spend the night with Johnny. Johnny's parents aren't saved. You know, I don't know what Johnny's parents are going to be doing. Son, no. Oh. And you hate to see a little heart that's broken, right? Are many other things that you might be required to do as a parent. But because Jesus is first, you have to say to your child, no, Jesus takes the priority. And listen, I wouldn't understand that as a child. You shouldn't expect your children to understand that either. Amen?
Amen.
Quickly, look at the dedication here. So why must Jesus be first? Because Jesus is really more important than any other one. Amen? Jesus is more important in our relationship with him than any other relationship. If my relationship with Christ is not right, guess what? It affects all other relationships. How many of y'all know that's true? Listen, if I'm wrong with Jesus, and I'm usually wrong with others, if my relationship with Him is not right, guess what? It's usually not right with a whole lot of other people. Amen? It's more important that my relationship be right with Him because it affects every other relationship in life. You see, some of you are trying to work on this relationship. You're trying to work on your children. You're trying to work on your spouse. You're trying to work on a relationship with mom and dad. You're trying to fix all this other stuff. And you're ignoring Jesus. And what I'm trying to tell you this morning is, come to Jesus, surrender to Jesus. And listen, once you get that relationship right, it'll affect every other relationship. Amen? If our relationship with Christ is what it ought to be, then we will flourish in every other relationship. If it's not, then we're going to be weak in every other relationship. Amen?
Amen.
You know, in every relationship, God requires us to forgive others. Amen. Right? How many of you had to forgive your parents even? Any of you ever had to forgive your parents? One time, my dad whipped us with a belt. And he wore me out. And he said, you were doing so and so. And I wasn't. I wasn't doing so-and-so. And by the way, it wasn't just that. There are other things. My dad wasn't saved. And so sometimes mom would go to the bar to try to find where daddy was. And they would fight in the home. All kind of stuff that happened when I was a child. You know what I have to be careful about? Have to stay on guard about? Is not having the right spirit toward my parents as I ought to have towards them. Sometimes you have to forgive your parents. Have you ever had to forgive your wife or your husband? I've gone to my wife several times and said to her, because God's Spirit would deal with me, and I'd say, listen, I'm wrong. I'd go to my wife and say, sweetheart, I'm sorry. Would you please forgive me? And I'm thankful, Lord, that most of the time she says yes. Have you ever had to even forgive your children? You know, children can really hurt you. How do you get past that? How about a brother or sister? You know, isn't it sad sometimes you hear about families and they're mad with each other and they don't ever communicate? You know why they don't communicate? It's because we're unwilling to respond to what he said. Is that true? Right? He helps us to forgive. He helps us to cope. I hope you never have to experience this, but how are you going to get through the loss of a child? Only God's help could get you through the loss of a child, right? A loss of a husband or wife. How do you... I couldn't even imagine that. I don't even know where I'd get strength. It's something I pray, Lord, take me before you take Brenda. Because I don't even know how I would have the strength to deal with that. But I've got great confidence because I've seen others go through it. And God gave them grace. Amen?
Amen.
He also helps us to enhance our relationship with one another. Amen? I tell parents all the time, one of the best things you can do for your kids is take them to church.
Amen.
Jeremy, best thing you do. Why? Because in Sunday school, the Sunday school teacher says, now listen, you need to honor your mom and dad. When they tell you to go to your room and clean it up, you need to go in there and clean it up. After you get through eating, help them in the kitchen. Find something to do around the house. Show respect. Don't talk back. When they tell you do something, do it. Wouldn't it be a blessing if your children did that at home? Well, that's reinforced in their relationship with God. You see that? That's why it's so important. Amen?
Amen.
Let me give you a few areas just to think about quickly in closing. Jesus helps us in our relationship with our mom and dad. Jesus taught us plainly to honor our parents, right? Listen, if we don't honor them, we don't honor God.
Amen.
Isn't that right? If we have a wrong attitude towards our parents, we have a wrong attitude towards... And I know what some of you are thinking, but preacher, you don't understand. My parents were... And by the way, if you didn't have never experienced this, you need to just rejoice and thank God for that. But there are some parents that are really... I mean, should be shot for how they treated their kids. Right? And yet we come to the Bible and we're instructed in the Scriptures to honor them. Now you may have to do like our mothers used to tell us. I don't know if moms are telling their kids this now. But if you can't say anything good about them...
Don't say it at all.
And sometimes that's how you have to be, right? Look, you don't understand what my parents did to me. I mean, it was terrible. But if you can't have it, if you don't have anything good to say, just don't say anything at all. It'd be sad if that's the case. But do your best, no matter what the past is, to honor God. And Jesus certainly will help you do that. Amen?
Amen.
By the way, think about this. Your parents had it a lot worse than you did. You know, most of us, we look at our parents and we're like, what's wrong with you? I mean, you're not very bright. You can't think straight. By the way, my kids think that way about me. So, you know. But Brenda and I were talking about this on the way to church. My dad didn't make it to past the eighth grade. He worked on a farm with his dad. And when it came time to gather the crops, he just took all the kids out of school. The crops are more important than their grades at school. Dad always wanted to play sports when he was young. But couldn't ever play sports because if it come time to pick the crops, he'd pull them, whatever sports or band, it didn't matter. He snatched them right out of it. He had to go in the field, pick cotton and all kind of stuff. So when he was young, he just quit going to school altogether, and his dad didn't care. You know what my dad did? My dad just hoped that we would graduate. So if we made bad grades, as long as we didn't fail, he didn't care really. If I brought home a D and I passed, he was like, okay, you passed. You're going to the next grade. But my wife's parents, on the other hand, expected all A's. By the way, she's a valedictorian of our class. And her sister was a valedictorian of her class. Older sister, Connie, was a valedictorian of her class. And Jeanette was a valedictorian of her class. Why? Because my parents just hoped that I would graduate. Her parents never paid for an A, expected an A. Our parents had a lot worse than we had. Sometimes we're not gracious, we're not understanding, we're not loving at all. We treat them like they're our kids. That's a shameful thing to do, amen?
Amen.
You've got a lot of advantages that they never had, amen?
Amen?
So show them respect because Christ demands that. And if you're reverencing Christ, you'll honor your mom and dad, amen?
Amen.
What about your husband and wife? Next to being a child, a Christian child in a home with Christian parents and learning how to become a Christ-like person in that relationship, husband and wife relationship is one of the best to help you to mature to become more like Christ.
Amen.
It's a little testing area. Amen. Are you going to be a Christian out in the world? Well, let's see how you do it in the house. How are you doing at the house? What was it like, Brother Tom, when you were growing up? Well, Mom would have a bat behind the door. So when Dad got home drunk, she could defend herself. And I'm not saying that to throw my dad in the bus. That's just how it was. My favorite hiding place was the closet. Because I can go in the closet, pull up on the, and I could sink between the two walls. I can just sit down. I didn't have to strain the muscle off. And I thought, no one, if they look at the bar, they can't see my hands. If they look for my feet, they can't see my feet. I mean, I'm perfectly safe hanging here in the closet. So I wasn't raised in a Christian home. The atmosphere in our home was dishes and arguing and seeing Dad fall on his face. And first sip of alcohol I ever got was from my dad. He said, try this. And I guess it was funny to him, you know, and I didn't care too much for it. So when I was saved and me and Brenda were married, I brought all that into our relationship. Guess what? I had a whole lot of changing to do. Guess what? I'm still trying to change. Because I don't want to just be a husband. I want to be a Christian husband.
Amen.
God's changed me a lot because I want my relationship with Him to be right. And if I want my relationship with Him to be right, guess what? I have to have it right with my wife. In the husband-wife relationship, you know what? There's a lot of surrender and submission and selflessness. What does it take to live a Christian life, Brother Tommy? Surrender, submission, and selflessness. Amen?
Amen.
Where do we learn that? Where do we practice that? We practice that in the home. We practice that in the most intimate relationship there is between a husband and wife. And if I'm right with God and my wife is right with God, then our house will be right with God. Amen?
Amen.
Why would Jesus say, if you're going to come after me, you must love me more than anybody else in all the world? That's what he's saying. I must be your highest priority. Why would Jesus demand that? Well, first of all, he's God, so he has a right to demand that. But it affects every other group that he mentioned. It affects my relationship with mom and dad. It affects my relationship with my wife. Guess what? It affects my relationship with my children. Guess what? It affects my relationship with my brothers and sisters. My church family. Amen?
Amen.
You see, Jesus really is saying something here very wise. If I have my heart right with him, it's going to be easier for my heart to be right with everybody else.
Amen.
If it's not right with him, I'm going to have problems everywhere else. Amen?
Amen?
So what should our decision be? Well, first of all, it should be to put Jesus first. If you're here this morning and you're not saved, you can't do that until you're saved. You can't have Jesus first if you don't have Jesus.
Right?
Can I tell you something? 10 out of 10 people die. And no matter how old you are right now, there are people that died at your age and younger. You say, what do you mean by that, preacher? It means that you might not see the sunrise in the morning.
Amen.
And if you die without Christ, you can't go to heaven. You're not going to go to heaven because you were a good person or because you didn't take someone's life. The only thing that allows you to get to heaven is whether or not you trusted in Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
So I plead with you this morning, if you've not been saved, come and receive Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. But if you are a Christian, can I remind you, put Jesus first. Remember, he's more important than anyone else. Maybe you've kind of got that off a little bit. Maybe you're not pursuing Christ like you should be pursuing Christ. Or you've got some other thing that's really heavy upon your heart. You're trying to work on this or trying to fix this. Or you're trying to do this. Don't let that draw you away from Jesus. Most important thing for you is to get closer. No matter what the problem is, the most important thing for you is to get closer and closer and closer to Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
That should be your priority, right? And then I would say another decision we need to make this morning is to see Jesus in every relationship we have. Now, if we're the parents that we ought to be, guess what we'll be doing? We'll try to be discipling our children, teaching them how to live for God and love God. Amen? We'll try to encourage our husband and wife to live for God. I'll close with saying this. I was saved, and my wife were married, started having children. And I remember going to see my dad. And before I left, I went over there. I went to hug him. He's like, what are you doing? I hugged him anyway. I said, Dad, I love you. But, okay. Next time I went over there, before I left, I went and hugged him. He didn't respond as bad. I said, Dad, I love you. He said, love you too. You know why it's hard on him? He never heard that as a child from his dad. I never heard it from my dad. I heard it from Jesus, though.
Amen.
I don't want my dad to know I love you, Dad. Jesus affects every relationship in life. Amen?
Amen.
Put Him first. If you're lost, receive Him as your Savior. If you're saved, put Him back where He needs to be. Amen?
Amen.
Jesus is who you need this morning, right? Let's stand for prayer. Father, we thank You for these hard sayings.